Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Now that Mackey's back in town. Look out, old Mackey's back.
Chris McMichael.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The
Fan. WFAN.
On the Fan. How are we doing on this Monday morning? McMonagle here with you for the next 4 hours. I got you till 5 o'clock when the warm-up show comes your way. Fleegum on the other side. He'll take your phone calls at 888-808-1019. I'll take them too. I mean, you know how it works. He'll screen them. I'll take them. You know what I meant. How's everybody doing on this Monday morning? Hope everybody had a great weekend. We got football coming up. Football on the docket, but we are still in a baseball town right now. And both teams yesterday had pivotal games that are swing games that you feel completely different about your team depending on whether you win it or lose it. Both teams playing ugly, ugly losing ball clubs. The last place Toronto Blue Jays. And I know that feels weird to say. The Blue Jays have been a pretty good team over the last handful of years. I mean, they're frauds. I've been saying it forever. And they traded away half the roster. And they're in last place this year. Oh, always a tough battle, especially when Vladimir Guerrero comes into Yankee Stadium on a tear the way he's been. But the Yankees playing at the beginning of a long homestand, a lousy last place Toronto Blue Jays in a rubber game on a Sunday afternoon. And the Mets out in Anaheim playing one of the worst teams in baseball, the Angels, who have no one left, who are just a dreadful team throwing some of the worst pitchers in baseball at them. And when these games, and we talked about the start of it in both teams, the Yankees on a homestand and the Mets on a 10-game road trip where now they have a brief stop in St. Louis for a game before heading out to Colorado. And Seattle, a long West Coast road trip. How pivotal these series are, how pivotal these games are. And yes, the Mets have not lost a series since the end of June, right? There's been a lot of four-game splits necessarily, and they've played relatively good baseball. But this is such an imperative stretch for this group, and we talked about this 10-game road trip. And to start it, by losing the first two of three to Anaheim is unacceptable. It's unacceptable for this offense that has carried this team. And I talked about this a lot on Thursday. With the Mets, it's about the offense, right? We talked about it at the trade deadline. They added some bullpen help. You know, they did get Winker before the deadline. But, and obviously Blackburn will pitch well. Coming off the trade deadline for the Mets. But it's not about their rotation. That's been a positive for them in many, many ways, despite it not being terrific. And now you have we'll see what he does in his first game in Colorado on Tuesday. But Severino coming off one of the worst starts of season. We've talked about the innings for Severino. And we've seen Peterson here and some of the back end of the rotation. But ultimately, they've given you good enough starts to win games, especially against a lousy Anaheim team throwing Griffin Canning at you. And this offense continues to just be the lightning rod of what this team is. When they got back in it after a miserable start where the offense did nothing forever, the first 2 months, nothing. Then went on this torrid pace that you knew couldn't keep up, right? You knew it couldn't keep up, whether it was Lindor hitting like the best player in baseball, whether it was Nimmo and his power surge, whether it was Vientos just absolutely killing it, Iglesias, and oh my God, like everything about this team, Taylor, Bader having the best years, Kraft, talked about it on and on. This offense, and it's what's propelled them. And it's what's caused them to lose. It has been, without question, the balance swing for this Met ball club. And watching it now, and I just heard Lori say it at the end of her show on how they are only behind the White Sox when it comes to runners in scoring position. This offense over the since the All-Star break, and they have been bad, minus a couple of big, you know, performances, right? You score a ton of runs against the Yankees in that second game. You score a ton of runs against Minnesota. But ultimately, this offense has done nothing. And we've been waiting for Pete Alonso to do something. He is absolutely killing them. We could talk about Alvarez and his struggles, no doubt. He struggled offensively. He's had a couple of issues. You know, he had the issue behind the plate, I guess, you know, where his stance, really, I mean, the way they've coached him up is more about stealing strikes than blocking balls in the dirt. And we've talked about that forever in Major League Baseball. That is the new. They don't care about balls in the dirt. This conversation goes back to Gary Sanchez. So we understand, but we understand his impact on winning, though. Like, to me, it's the guys in the middle of this lineup and the inability to come through with big hits, whether it's the Vientos double play, whether it's time and time again getting on base, right? Even McNeil, who's been hot with runners in scoring position, he doesn't seem to want to, like, it's just this offense and their inability. You look up and down, it's 1-for-8, 2-for-10, 1-for-13. Like, every one of these games, they have absolutely come up with more. I mean, and listen, some of it's bad luck too. Lindor hits the first ball off of the series and an absolute on Saturday, excuse me, and an absolute unbelievable catch from Pilar. So there's some of that too. But watching this team, it's all about their offense. And the other thing about the Mets is when they're going well, they do a certain thing. And when they're playing poorly, they don't. And that's bouncing back, right? The Mets, for whatever reason, whether it's in game or whether it's in a week or in a month or in a season, this Mets team, when they fall behind, when they're playing well, they fall behind, they bounce right back and score a bunch of runs. When they have a terrible loss, they come right back and come and get you. And the inability to win this rubber match off of Saturday night's debacle. And that is, they finally come through with a big hit. Martinez comes through at the Grand Slam, and that's a game right now. And we're going to talk about the Yankees in a second and how these games feel completely different. Yesterday is a game the Yankees have lost for the last 2 months. Extra innings after you've blown it in the late innings on a rain delay. That's a game over the last 2 months against the last place team with an opportunity to win the series. That's a game the Yankees have lost for the last 2 months, bar none. And this is the type of game that the Mets have won during this hot streak, during this unbelievable play that has caused, you know, our intent of the trade deadline to change, our feeling around the team to change. Everything about this has changed over the last 2 months. Our attitude about this Met team making the playoffs. Because right now, this loss yesterday dropped them a game and a half behind. And what felt like just a mere week ago when they were playing against Atlanta, where they were right on the precipice after taking the first two games of Atlanta and feeling like they were just going to catapult everybody and they were going to be this first team. They were going to be the first wild card, to only a short, brief time later being a game and a half behind the surging San Diego Padres, the surging Arizona Diamondbacks. And to not be able to start this 10-game road trip by pounding the bad teams. And that's what you have to do. And this Met team has struggled with that too. And when they're going poor, they struggle with bouncing back off bad wins. And they struggle against bad teams. And when they're going well, they sweep the Nationals. Like, that's, and right now, it's all predicated. Yeah, I know Brezovan gave up the runs and, you know, gave up that 3-run home run. And it, after the Grand Slam, that's a brutal loss. And the bullpen has its holes for sure. No doubt about it. And the starting rotation doesn't go too deep into games. Severino, if he blows up, he's been your best pitcher. That's tough to recover from. I get all of that. But to me, it's about this Met offense. It's who they are. It was supposed to be their strength heading into the season. When they don't hit, they don't win. When they hit, when they have guys like Nimmo and Lindor and Martinez and everybody coming through, they're able to win these games. And when the offense goes cold, I mean, that's what it is. And we could talk about Mendoza leaving Brazoban in, or all the other different things of what happened in this 3-game set. But ultimately, for me, as this team right now is as good as any, I still believe this, they're as good as the Arizona Diamondbacks. They are as good as the San Diego Padres. I know the San Diego Padres just bolstered their bullpen. But, and everybody, I just heard Healy on with Lori. Everybody's satisfied with this trade deadline. Everybody is content with the idea they, you know, kind of helped their team while they went about keeping secure all of their young talent in the future, and you want to be like the Dodgers and have it and eat your cake too, eat your cake and, you know, have your cake and eat it too, and have the young prospects come up and, you know, keep that fortified and try and build for the future while trying to compete. And hey, you added this guy, you added that guy. And I'm just telling you, we knew that this offense wasn't going to be on that kind of run forever. And if right now the team everywhere else, and I understand that, you know, there's only so much you can do with the rotation. There's only so many trades that could have been made. But this offense has got to be better than the second worst team in Major League Baseball with runners in the scoring position, or they're not going to win. And Pete Alonso is making what we all thought was going to be the toughest decision this new general manager was going to have to make. The toughest decision of this owner, who loves the fan base, who does everything he can to try and please the fan base, whether it's uniforms, whether it's statues, whether it's giveaways, whatever the case may be. This owner, who's one of you, who's done everything he possibly can to please you. It hasn't culminated in winning just yet, but on all the ancillary stuff, on all the big decisions, on all the things that a fan base gets into, whether it's spending money, clearly they have, whether it's trading pieces away and taking on worse contracts to get and taking on part of the deal and money to get better prospects and spending the money and making moves and everything else, along with the jerseys and the statues and everything else. The biggest and weighing decision on this owner, on Stearns, was going to be what to do with Pete Alonso. Whether it was to trade him, whether it was to give him a contract, the fan base will revolt. Pete Alonso, who, I mean, yeah, I know he hit a home run in the series, but ultimately, on the Friday night game that they won, he has done nothing. He is having a miserable season. And this is a guy who we've all touted, myself included, is going to be the greatest position player in Mets history and everything else. He has done nothing here this entire season. A season where now they are right there to reach out and grab a playoff appearance, which would culminate this as one of the more promising, better seasons the Mets have had in forever. You got the new GM, you're stacking talent, you made the deals at the deadline last year, you got a manager that right now feels like, you know, I think the Midas touch that he had for 2 weeks is kind of waning a little bit, but still a manager you believe in, a young GM who built up the Brewers to still being a first-place team right now, and everything seems to be heading in the right direction. And ultimately, the biggest question was going to be how they handled the Pete Alonso decision. And right now, I don't think you'll catch a Met fan who feels like, hey, if it hits a number that seems unreasonable for a young an aging first baseman who is a power hitter who isn't doing what he's supposed to do for this lineup and hasn't been the leader for this group, that's Nimmo and Lindor, hasn't been the driving catalyst of what's led them back into this playoff race, certainly not Alonso. Everybody but, for the most part, you got a Vientos who probably, you can make the case, his best position moving forward will be first base. And Pete Alonso has not only played himself into a lesser contract, but he's played himself out of the idea of the fan base revolting, which I know we mocked John Mara for, and talking about the most popular player when it came down to Saquon Barkley. But you know this owner has been weighing this decision for a long time because of the connection to the fan base, because of his place inside Mets lore and inside Mets history right now. And what he's doing this last year is making a decision that felt like something that was weighing over the organization, a black cloud over the organization, and he is making it an easy one, where there's a number they're comfortable with and a number they won't be, and the fan base will come along for the ride. But that's where the Mets are now as they head into a one game against St. Louis with Manaea on the mound, who's pitched, had his best start of the year in his last one, heading into Colorado before taking on the first-place Seattle Mariners. And these are games the Mets can't afford to lose. These are series against bad teams that, unfortunately, no matter how good they've been over the last 2 months, the way they played over the first two have put them in a position where they can't afford to lose these games. And this was a brutal series, an ugly two games. The offense has come up really inept since the All-Star break. And I've been clamoring for Pete Alonso, along with everybody else, but everybody else has been doing their job for the most part. I've been clamoring for Pete Alonso to make his case that he should be here, to make his case that he's one of the leaders of this team, to make his case that he's indispensable. And the fact of the matter is, he's just not. And this was an ugly series and a start to an important road trip where they have now encountered a surging Arizona Diamondbacks team and a surging San Diego Padres team. And if they're not, you know, careful here, they could find themselves in a bigger hole than we thought at the end of this road trip. You know, feel like, well, I mean, this month was going to be a gauntlet, right? They're barely home. We talked about the schedule, right? This 10-game road trip. Then they have an Oakland and Miami Baltimore homestand. They're right on the road at the end of this month with important games against San Diego, a 4-game set, and 3 games against Arizona. You better make sure that at the end of August, this thing isn't cooked for the New York Mets. And we'll get to the Yankees, obviously, 888-808-1019. A walk-off win in extra innings. Like I said, a pivotal game against a Toronto Blue Jays team. A series that now, especially with the walk-off nature and the rain delay and everything that came with it, and DJ LeMahieu, who we have to have a conversation about, but DJ LeMahieu comes through with the walk-off win, and the difference between winning that game and losing that game are enormous. Enormous. Right? The Baltimore Orioles managed to win the last 2 games of a 4-game set against Cleveland. They would have been a game out of first place had they lost this game. Lost another series at home where they have been 6-16 over the last 22 heading into yesterday. They've been atrocious at home during this terrible play. And the difference between winning that series and losing that series is enormous. And they got the win, and we'll get into it next. Walk-off fashion. A lot of questions about the lineup and Judge as he continues to get intentionally walked. I'm wondering right now if DJ LeMahieu, who not only came through with the big hit, came through with the sacrifice fly, won a game for them with 6 RBIs against Philadelphia and had good at-bats all day yesterday. I'm starting to wonder if DJ LeMahieu is starting to come out of his slumber and whether and how that impacts this infield that seems set with Torres at second, although he got benched on Friday. And that's another conversation we got to have because I have my thoughts on what happened with Gleyber Torres and some of the aftermath with Aaron Boone. We got to get into that. But can DJ LeMahieu impact the look of this team, the feel of this team, and the part of this roster and lineup if he's going to wake up from what has been a, I don't know, 3-year slumber? But he's actually had some good at-bats over the last couple of games. I'm not going nuts about it. But he just came through with the walk-off win. The Yankees take 2 of 3. The Mets lose 2 of 3. And we are still here on a Monday morning right in the midst of this playoff push for both of these teams. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you. We'll come back, continue to take your phone calls, especially on the Mets to open. We'll get to the Yankees and their walk-off heroics. We'll get to some football, too, because I know we all love lists, but 2 lists have come out in the time I was off. I took off Friday. Since I was last on Thursday morning, 2 lists in the NFL have come out. Both of them just boggle my mind. And then, plus, there's somebody who's up for a Hall of Fame vote. And if you ever want to have a conversation on the fan, you can go to Pete Rose. There's a lot of things you can go to. Another one is whether or not Eli Manning should be in the Hall of Fame.